Jesse Unplugged. This is our April 2016 episode. And without further ado, your host, the man of the hour, Jesse Anderson.
Sup, everybody. We got a great show for you today. I've been looking forward to doing this for a long time.
Nice. Me too. Finally got to hang out. We'll talk about that later. Yep. Really awesome night downtown in Chicago. But, yeah, a little news to get to. Last week we lost Prince, and only 57 years old.
I know.
Were you a fan of his music? Did you hate his music? Were you just lukewarm on it? How was Prince's music to you, Jesse?
You know, I thought it was good, but I wasn't like a diehard fan, you know?
Sure. I never saw him play live. I think if I did, then I'd be even more of a fan. But you just have to respect
the dude, right? Yeah, I know, and I'll tell you, and John probably knows this too, but with all these bands of tomorrow, you know, with the artists and the actors and actresses of tomorrow, after everyone we've lost so far this year, the people of tomorrow have so much so much shoes to fill.
Yeah, it's been a really crazy year.
I'm saying,
yeah, I totally do. I don't remember like losing a whole bunch of superstars with, and it's only April. I mean, David Bowie, Prince, Merle Haggard, Glenn Frey from the Eagles, Lemmy. I don't know if Lemmy was in December of 2015. That might have been in December, but still a lot of people to lose. And it's not like they were small timers. Each one of these person, like, they all sold millions of records. So these are all superstars, you know.
And also the Doris Roberts and the actors side of it, you know.
Sure, yeah, there was a couple actors and actresses.
Yeah.
I heard one person say that the first sign of the zombie apocalypse is when they start killing off all of our rock stars. So who knows? Yeah, really. But Prince, yeah, I just respect him because I knew that a lot of the albums, it was just him playing guitar, bass, drums, synthesizer, keyboards, and singing. Wow. So anybody who can do that, I know Billy does that on a lot of the albums too. I have huge respect if you can play.
That's probably why he had that place created.
What, he had a studio, right? Paisley Park?
Paisley Park. At first I thought that was like some kind of like high-end apartment complex.
Okay, sure, yeah.
But it looks like it's just one big studio.
It's a big studio, and I believe he lived there. I could be wrong. I have cousins that live up in Minneapolis. And, my best friend just went up to Minneapolis about 3 weeks ago and went to the club where they filmed Purple Rain. I guess there's really only one big club in Minneapolis called First Avenue. So he went there and saw Soul Asylum. They're from Minneapolis, too. And said, oh, yeah, there's a whole bunch of stuff about Prince here. I guess they filmed Purple Rain. He would play shows all the time there. And, it's just, you ever been up to Minneapolis?
Yeah, I was there for, the wrestling thing.
Oh, yeah, the Resistance Pro, like, what, a bar crawler?
Yeah, it was like, zombie pub crawl.
Nice. You didn't happen to go to First Avenue Bar, did you?
No, but I'm not sure where we did it, but I thought it was pretty cool. It's like all these zombies and all, but
nice.
I don't want to get off subject.
Well, back to zombies, right? Yeah. And I like Minneapolis. It's kind of a smaller town than obviously way smaller town than Chicago, but it's still a
city. And that's where my BFF Aaron Carpedian is from.
Oh, I did not know that. He's up in Minneapolis?
Yeah, that's where he was born and raised.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, I know it's the Twin Cities. You got St. Paul, Minneapolis, and I've got a cousin there, so I've been there probably five or six times. I always enjoy myself. So another legend has passed, and another weird thing about Prince is, so I'm at a catering the other day, and my boss wants to put some on, you know, YouTube and stuff like that. And it turns out Prince did not have any of his music up for free.
Wow.
He was very strict about not allowing it to be on Apple Music, iTunes, Spotify, all that stuff. I don't know. You think is that a good thing or a bad thing? I mean, they don't pay the artists very much. They don't respect the artists very much. But at the same time, it's cool to have people be able to share your music without you know, unfortunately without paying for it, but at least spreading the music around.
Well, I mean, I was able to, I paid a, I got two of his songs on iTunes and paid like $1.29 for each.
Got you. So there is some of his music. It's just, I know he has like 50, 60 albums, something like that. He's crazy
Holy
with all this music he released. So maybe just a small portion of it is available. But for the most part, he was very strict about checking YouTube, making sure that those songs are not up for free. I don't think Billy's like that. I'm sure he would like to get his fair share, but at the same point, if a fan wants to spread the word by posting some of his music that's 20 years old, I mean, no one's buying CDs that much anymore, so why not spread your music for free and then have them everybody pay for your concert ticket, right?
Yeah. I know.
And, speaking of concerts, we've got a wrap-up of the Big Smashing Pumpkins Liz Phair show coming up. But first, I heard that you went to yet another musical. And that's,
yes, I did.
It's been your big hobby of 2016, checking out musicals.
And do you want? I'll tell you one thing. I'm pretty sure this one trumps all the other ones because, well, it's called Bullets Over Broadway.
Okay, cool.
And when I first saw the, like, it was not like an ad, but, you know, like an announcement about it, I'm coming to Chicago, I was like, oh, cool, you know, might as well go see something new. And it happens to deal with, like, one of my favorite decades.
Which decade is that?
The monster era.
Nice.
That is like my all-time favorite era in history.
Nice.
Gangsters and flappers and...
Sure, mobsters, gangsters, flappers, the 20s and... Right?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Another big thing for me was that made it, special was I was literally in row A.
Wow, front row, right?
Yeah, front row, and I literally could see right into the orchestra pit.
Oh, that's awesome. How about, where was this at?
At the place called the Private Bank Theater.
Okay, cool.
I mean, yeah, I had to look, basically had to look up, you know, a little bit. But I'll tell you, that was like way, way better than being all the way at the top balcony. Looking down.
And you said last episode that you had to be at the top, the last row, right? At one of the shows?
Well, the second row and the upper balcony.
Gotcha.
And that was like, oh, God. That almost was like the 300 section at the United Center.
Very awesome. Nice. So this one, you're right up front.
And I could see it backstage a little bit, too.
That is cool. Nice. So this is about mobsters and gangsters,
and it's surprisingly there's a movie by the same name as well.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've known the title for a while, but does it have to deal with Chicago in itself too? Because we were pretty much that in New York was like the epicenter of gangster activities back then, right?
Well, the play pretty much takes place in New York City and Boston.
Oh, I gotcha. Nice. So how would you review it? Would you say, you said it's probably one of the best ones you've seen of the year?
Yeah. It trumps everything else because I really – well, because – all because where I was sitting too. And I got to really immerse myself.
Totally.
Because
awesome.
I was so close.
Is there violence in this?
There's a lot of there's a lot of guns going off.
Nice. Tommy
guns
and
really
stuff?
Going. Yeah.
Nice.
And I'll tell you, this is probably the very first musical I've ever been to that they said the words bullshit.
Nice. That's awesome.
I must have heard that, like, at least 20 times.
Oh, wow. Jeez. So this is kind of an R musical. Do they rate musicals like R, PG, PG-13? Is there a rating when you buy a ticket? Or?
I don't think so. I'm not sure.
Huh. Well, I guess little kids usually aren't going to musicals, but just in case, maybe you wouldn't want a little kid going to Bullets Over Broadway, right?
Yeah, it's kind of, you know,
But maybe they'll learn something, and, you know, for hearing the word bullshit, maybe they'll learn five other good things that they didn't know before. So maybe a little swear word's not as bad as, you know, learning something about the past. So.
I know.
Totally. So, yeah, this has been quite a year for you with musicals. Can you go over which ones you've seen already? Did you see Matilda, too, right?
Yes, I did. And also Beautiful, the Carole King
The Carole King story. That's awesome, too. Yeah. All right, really cool. And speaking of, I mean, this isn't an opera, but a musical similar to an opera. And, yes, we spent a lovely Thursday evening going to the Civic Opera House.
That was amazing. My first time there.
First time there for me, too. Very fancy. You could tell the place has been around for a long time. Great sound. And we got to see your brother, Billy Corgan, and the Smashing Pumpkins with Liz Phair opening. And
wow,
that was
nice.
A great.
Yes, I know. It was awesome.
Great night, man. Just to recap, I took the train down after working on a Thursday. It was another really gorgeous day out in Chicago. Met up with you at Union Station. Then we were even a little too early, so we took a walk all the way to the Bean from the train station. And I've got some friends that wouldn't even be able to make that walk. They'd be crying. They'd be saying, oh, let's get a cab and stuff. But yeah, me and Jesse, we took the walk all the way down and then we walked back. And, yes, Smashing Pumpkins.
Oh man, it was a great show.
This is your 48th show of the Smashing Pumpkins. No, I'm kidding, but
well, it could be around that much.
Nice.
Well, unfortunately, I didn't get to see. Yeah, unfortunately, I pretty much missed this fair part, and I'll explain why in the second half.
Okay, cool. Yes, but this was a very interesting show. It's one good thing about the Pumpkins is you never go and see the same show.
I know. It's always different.
It's always different. This time they're going for a more subdued sound, not quite acoustic, even though it started off with just Billy and acoustic. It eventually built it up into a full band with bass, keyboards, electric guitar, drums. But what really made my day was getting to go backstage just for a second before the show. Got to finally meet Jimmy Chamberlain just for, you know, 20 seconds. That was sweet, though. I've been listening to him for 20-plus years, so it's really cool to meet him in person. And we got to meet Doug, the road manager. You have met him, but I hadn't before.
Yes.
Great show. I loved, and here's another big bombshell, James Iha. Not quite back with the band, but making a guest appearance.
That was a huge...
Yeah.
The place literally went nuts.
They went nuts. If you don't know, James Iha, the original guitarist from when they started in the late 80s till the original time they broke up, which was year 2000, hasn't always been friendly back and forth since then. So it's kind of a shock to see him back with Billy and Jimmy Chamberlain and something really nice about it, you know. It feels right. I love the new people. I think they're just as good musicians. I love Sierra Swan and Katie Cole. But just something about something that you're familiar with. And it's not like you see James Iha all over the industry playing with other bands. He does play with a Perfect Circle and stuff. But it's just nice to see those three original guys back. So
they were awesome together.
Yeah, and especially playing songs off Siamese Dream. Arguably the biggest album of the Pumpkins' career, that and Melancholy. But, they played six or seven songs off the album. I texted you when a certain song came up, Space Boy. And, yes, but they were all – they sounded great, energized, and happy, too. Which you couldn't always say about the Pumpkins. You know, sometimes they were fighting and stuff like that. They were even smiling, laughing, and it felt comfortable, right?
Yeah.
All right, I feel like we should take a little break, and we will be right back, and we're calling a special guest. First special guest for Jesse Unplugged. We will be right back after this.
Yo, what goes on, people? Jay Porks here. Just reminding you to keep it locked to the Dear Network throughout 2015, where you can get The Tyler Kale Show, the smooth, sultry tones of the Jay Parks Experience, or The Andy Deere Show. Keep it locked to andydeere.com. 2015, big things coming.
And we are back with Jesse Unplugged, the April 2016 edition. Yeah, we're so happy to have a special guest via phone. We got John.
First guest, people.
Yeah, first guest. We got John Babin of the band Lever. How you doing?
Hey, man. How you doing, guys? Thanks for having me.
Of course. We're honored to have you on.
Yeah, I've been checking out the album. You can find it at leverband.bandcamp.com. Really good stuff. Pop rock, but with some muscle and with some distortion. And that's kind of missing nowadays. I think you guys are bringing it back. I like it.
Thanks. I appreciate that. You know, it's important to, you know, hang on to influences and, you know, do something new at the same time. You know, we don't want to, you know, be involved too much with exactly, you know, certain cliques or anything. We like to be all over the board.
Nice.
You know, with it. So it's good to, yeah, thank you. Thanks for taking a listen to that.
Yeah, John, correct me if I'm wrong, but, and I'll tell you, Andy, to me, the way they play and the music they have, it seems like they're like a cross between Nirvana and Green Day.
And Waves. You ever heard of Waves?
We've heard of Waves.
Yeah, nice. It's a little Waves in there. But, yeah, they're catchy songs.
We're big fans of surf rock all throughout the years, all throughout the 50s, throughout the 60s, and
like Dick Dale.
And Waves is a good example of a band that used it in a, you know, a punk rock fashion, and really it really spoke to us. Their last record was great. All their records are awesome.
Very cool. And, yeah, I got to meet you at the Smashing Pumpkins show. I thought you were the drummer of Lever, but you're the guitarist-songwriter, right?
I'm the guitar player and vocalist, but you may have seen the drummer. Mike was there with his girlfriend, and we ran into each other. It was a good show. It was actually a good show. What an understatement. It was actually one of the best shows I've ever seen.
Nice.
First show. Yeah.
I know. You know, I've seen some really good ones. You know, I've seen Roger Waters do The Wall. I've seen Paul McCartney at Miller Park.
Nice.
I've seen The Stones. And this show is, I've seen Oasis at Blaine Castle, but and this show was just up there with like one of the greatest, you know, moments I've ever seen. And to be there as a guest with Jesse, you know, thank you again, man, for letting me do that.
The Pumpkins
to me have always been like a, oh, well, happy, well, thanks, man. But, you know, the Pumpkins to me have always just been such an influence and such a, just a grandiose like body of music. You know, it's, they've always, you know, whether you're, you know, really sad or happy or anything or angry, like it's just one of those bands that can really bring out all those emotions out of you. And you know, it's such a, you know, they've always been a very, very deep band, you know, on the surface, it's been a really deep.
Yeah. We were saying before the break, that you never get the same Smashing Pumpkins show twice. I've seen them when they were so loud, your ears are hurting the next day. And then this time you hear them, and it's elegant acoustic work. They bring a full band. And how about James Iha back with the guys after 16 years?
Yeah. You should have seen him, Andy. Yeah. John literally freaked out.
Nice.
He was sitting right next to me. He literally freaked out.
I screamed. When he jumped on stage, I screamed. You know, that was a big moment. And then when they brought the full band on, like, you know, Jimmy Chamberlain just rocked it. And I can't think of her name. I'm a bad person. But the girl from Hole was there on guitar. And just the backing singers, everything was just so good. And it was totally – I'm a big sucker for acoustic stuff.
Sure.
And that was – it was truly a special night. Like, it was – I mean, I think that – anyone who goes to see that tour is really in for something really special. It's a huge treat.
Yeah, I like how they took it from just Billy acoustic, then Billy and Jeff acoustic, then I think James joined, then they had everybody come out, then they were on keyboards. Oh, yeah. So it kept moving the entire show, and then they ended it with like Angie. That was awesome.
Like, yeah, they did the Stones at the end there. That was great. I wasn't expecting that, and they killed it. They killed it. And Billy's voice sounds better now than ever before. And that's not to say that his voice was, you know, ever and yeah.
Well, he's aging gracefully.
For some reason, live.
Yeah, he's aging gracefully.
Oh yeah, falsettos, vibratos. He's just bringing it all to the table, and it was such an event, and really on top of their game. It was awesome.
Nice. And how about more about your band? How long have you guys been playing together?
We've been playing together for Lever's been a band for about 4 years now, and I've been a part of it for the last 2.5.
Nice.
Wow.
So, yeah.
I thought you created Lever or something. Wow.
Well, I helped to recreate Lever. They had a different vocalist, and they had a couple of other things going on. And a
different drummer, too.
I don't know if they had a different drummer. I think Mike was always there, actually. He was always there. We had a different bass player at the time, too. Ariel, she's great. She's out with Barbed Wire Dolls right now. Oh, yeah, definitely.
But
we got a new bass player.
Brandon kills it.
Oh, yeah, he nails it. And
You guys killed it at, I forgot the name of the place, but there's, before the Smashing Pumpkins show, your last.
Yeah, the night before the Pumpkins show, we were at the Burlington.
Oh, yeah. And you,
little different than the Civic Opera House, just nice. A little different.
But that, I'll tell you, Andy, that was probably their best crowd ever.
Awesome.
Oh, thanks, man.
Because normally it's like, a lot of times I've been to shows where it was just bands playing for bands, you know?
Sure.
And, but
that's most shows actually.
That happens. Yeah. Oh yeah.
they all got to start somewhere.
And do you guys practice out of somebody's house, or do you guys have a practice space?
Yep. Our drummer Mike, his whole family are artists, so they let us jam in his basement with his big red drums,
nice.
We just bring all the gear over there and we jam as much as we can and to practice, and we're prepping up for a new release. We have a bunch of new songs. We might revisit some old ones, perhaps, on the earlier EPs that didn't have, full-fledged releases. So sure. We're just going to go and record everything we have and perhaps do a double release or a couple of releases coming up in this year. We're going to have some videos coming up soon.
Oh, nice. Yeah, like Nerve was awesome.
Oh, thanks, man.
Is it the type of thing where you take it to a studio in 2016, or can you do it pretty much out of the practice space with computers, or what's the deal with recording?
Well, we're taking it to a studio. We did the last one at Treehouse Records in Chicago, which is an all analog, no digital.
Nice.
That's awesome.
You know, crap about it. It's really really an old school way of doing things, and that's really how we like to do it. You know, I used to record to tape on my own, so recording to tape is just it's just so much more natural and just feels a lot better.
It's the best way to do it. Yeah, I've talked to Steve Albini at his.
And he's big on the old school
stuff. It's what you're going to hear when you see the band live. You know, it's really.
That's the best.
It's really, there's an extra grit there. So we're going to go back and hopefully do it to analog. And our next show is going to be April 30th at DZ Records. They're having a big party. So
awesome.
We're going to go out there, represent with those guys.
Yeah, this will be out on Wednesday. So, yeah, definitely check them out. The website, leverband.bandcamp.com, right?
Yes, sir.
And at Leverband on Twitter. Just want to thank you so much for taking the time out. And, we'd love to have you back maybe this summer or something, maybe in person, too.
We'd love to do it. Let's do a performance or something.
Yeah, we could do something. Maybe we could come by your practice space. Me and Jesse can get in the truck and go over by you guys or something. So
always welcome. Always welcome.
Yeah, definitely.
Sounds good. So, any last words, John?
Thanks for listening.
Yeah.
Awesome. Sounds good. And on behalf of John Babin and Jesse, this is Andy signing off for Jesse Unplugged.
It's Jesse Unplugged. It's Jesse Unplugged. We're gonna find out what's up with Jesse this week. Jesse Unplugged.